At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Press. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's great to have you here with us. We've got one more tournament in the way before the Masters. It is the Valero Texas Open's last chance saloon to get into the first men's major of the year. We're going to talk about that in depth today. We'll do a second episode, a little bit more quirk to it, a little bit more statistical view of it with some more detailed analysis on our second show. And then we've got the LPGA's T-Mobile match play. We've got LIV Golf in Miami. We've got Corn Ferry Tour back playing in Savannah, Georgia. So lots to cover in the third episode of the week. Of course, we will do a full slate of shows just about the Masters next week. All three shows will be about the Masters next week. But that is then. This is now. We're going to get into the Valero Texas Open. So let's get right into it. This is the Valero Texas Open played at TPC San Antonio on the Oaks course. There was actually a period of time where this tournament had a course with a corporate sponsor. It used to be called the AT&T Oaks course, which got insane to me, but they dropped that because AT&T wasn't going to pay up to have their name on the course. They were trying that out to see if they could get other corporate sponsors to put their name on TPC courses, and that just didn't happen. Anyway, it's in San Antonio, Texas. It opened in 2010. It is one of two courses on the property. When they had the COVID year, 2020, and the Corn Ferry Tour came back, they actually had back-to-back tournaments at TPC San Antonio on the two courses on property. So they play one of the Oaks and one of whatever the other one is. I forget the name at the moment. But they do have two. They're both Greg Norman designs, by the way, as far as I understand. But this one is a Greg Norman design for sure. It's par 72. Very similar to yardage to last week, which was 74-75. This is 74-38. So we played four courses in a row that are just kind of hanging around this 74 and change number. This is a par 72 with two par threes, two par fives per side, 10 par fours. Same purse as last week, $9.5 million, $1.71 million of that going to the winner, and 500 FedEx Cup points to the champion. Taking a look at the field, we have a decent field this week. We'll get into the betting odds, and you'll see some of that field, but we have about 15, 16 of the world top 50 competing this week, just a fewer number than last week. I think it was 19 last week, this week 16. We have about 51-ish official world golf ranking points to the winner. This is the last chance to get into the Masters, by the way. Win and you're in if you're not already eligible. If you are already in the Masters and you win, it doesn't matter. It doesn't add anybody to the field. They don't have alternates for this tournament. It is what it is. So you're either in or you're not. But you've got a defending champion in Akshay Bhatia, who won in the playoff here last year against Denny McCarthy, nearly busted his arm in the playoff doing like a getting angry at something, which is very interesting. McCarthy had one of the most furious comebacks I've ever seen on the PGA Tour. I think he shot 28 in the final nine to get into a playoff. He is a member at my home club, Argyle Country Club. We were playing that afternoon, just kind of keeping tabs on how he was doing. And then we cut short our round after nine holes to go in and see if he could wind up winning the tournament. Lost in a heartbreaker, but Akshay Bhatia is back to defend. Denny's here to play. And those guys are both in the top 50 in the world. We have an interesting odds board here this week. Considering Ludwig was T14 last year, he's best player in the world that's going to be in this tournament. He's 12-1. Corey Connors, two-time winner here. And also, he won this tournament as a Monday qualifier back in 2019 for that first win in this event. He's the last guy to win as a Monday qualifier. And for a long time coming, he might be the last guy to win as a Monday qualifier on the PGA Tour. 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood, who's, again, never won in America, 14-1. Fatty Ice is playing this week. He's 18-1. Akshay is 22-1, just behind Hideki Matsuyama, who's at 20-1. Spieth, who's won here, he won in 2021. They did not play this event in 2020. He's 22-1, along with Keegan Bradley. You've got in your 30s, Denny McCarthy and Daniel Berger. 33 is Siwoo Kim, Tom Kim, 35. Keith Mitchell, I think a lot of people will find themselves on this week, is 40-1, along with Tony Finau, who missed a 3-inch putt last week, which is strange. Bud Cauley, 45-1. We'll come back to him. I think I will play him this week. Gary Woodland is 50-1. He has a horse-for-course play here this week. I think he basically, he has to feel like he kind of saved his PGA Tour career last week, getting so close in Houston because he had the crowd cheering him on. He knew what it meant. his exemption for winning the U.S. Open. It's a 5-year exemption. He won in 2019. That expires at the end of the year. So his opportunity to remain on the PGA Tour really hinges on his ability to earn FedEx Cup points, get in that top 100, ideally get in that top 70, get in the playoffs, save yourself the fall. But last week was a big week. I expect him to ride some momentum here this week, given that he has a couple of top 15 finishes in the last 5 years. JT Poston, Michael Kim, who played his way into the Masters. Congrats to him. I wouldn't be surprised if he WDs, to be honest with you, but he's still in there. Sam Burns, Sam Stevens, all 50-1. Jacob Bridgman, Rico Hoey are 55-1 as well. I think of those names, especially toward that tail end, you're thinking about a Jacob Bridgman. Michael Kim had himself a good enough week. All he had to do was finish, basically, pretty much had to make the cut. But top 50 did it, did that easily. I think you're going to find your most value on the right side of this column. I like Bud Cauley here. I like Keith Mitchell. I kind of like Gary Woodland. Don't love it, but I like it quite a bit. I like Jacob Bridgman quite a bit. Rico Hoey to a degree. He's a great starter. He starts out so well in tournaments, and I think that really makes him interesting because if you get out to a really hot start, then you've got a better chance, obviously, of winning the tournament against par because you've gone more of the way toward what the winning total is. But statistically speaking, if you lead after 18 holes in the PGA Tour, it's very rare that you wind up the winner at the end of the week. Let's take a look at the model that we do each and every week over at golfnewsnet.com for our members. $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, and $100 for 3 years. We had Minwoo Lee sixth last week against all odds. He was probably, seventh or eighth in the field. So we gave you a slightly better value relative to what he actually was ranked at by the bookmakers. And we had a good week with that model last week. This week, see some similar names, see some different names, right? Hideki Matsuyama, number one, not surprising. Fleetwood, two. Cantlay, three. Ludwig, four. Now, I'm surprised that Ludwig is fourth. Really? I thought he'd be closer to two or three. Corey Connors is fifth. Obviously, course history is huge here for him. Bud Cauley comes in seventh, and that was a little bit surprising for me, to be honest with you. He gets some credit here for having fewer starts because of the injury that he's been dealing with, the car crash he's been trying to come back from for years. And because he doesn't play as often and he's had good results recently, that really weights him higher. He probably should not be this high. He probably should be more in the 15 to 20 range, but lack of data and recency bias because of the good data pushes him up. Matt McNeely, eighth. Keith Mitchell, ninth. Jacob Bridgman, 10th. So, again, Jacob Bridgman, a guy, relative lack of data, pushed up the list, but still playing very, very good golf and reflected in how the bookmakers think of him being on that first slide, 55-1, right? Now, let's talk about some horses for courses here this week. Corey Connors is obviously your number one modern horse for course. One here in 2019, one here in 2022, right? So he, or 2023, whatever. But he has a great course record here. He likes the golf course. Hideki Matsuyama has some good finishes here. And then a couple of old guys I just wanted to throw in here to remind you of the kind of archetype guy that wins here. And we'll talk about that in the winner's slide as well. But Charlie Hoffman, Matt Kuchar. This was the Charlie Hoffman Open for a long time. He had shirts made. Man, like he made a lot of money in this tournament. I think it's close to $5 million in his career at this single tournament. This bankrolled his entire life playing the Valero Texas Open, specifically the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio. Matt Kuchar, another old head guy. Again, not a long hitter, good ball striker, not the best putter. You're starting to see some connections here versus Jordan Spieth is the opposite, right? there was a time where he was just a great putter. Then he became a great ball striker. Now he's kind of neither. He's just kind of there. But that at that time in his career, he was playing every Texas event, and he was playing with great ball striking. So great ball striker, not necessarily the longest guy. I mean, all these guys. Not necessarily the longest guy, right? And we'll show you that in the winner's slide as well. Past champions. Akshay has some oomph, right? I mean, he hits the ball pretty hard. Obviously not the best putter, right? I mean, he certainly wasn't last year. He's improved dramatically this year, as we saw throughout the credits at the Players' Championship from NBC. But putting is ultimately what cost him the Players as well. So, yes, better statistically, but in terms of vibes, feel, observable stuff, Akshay Bisi is not the best putter. There's a reason you're holding that long wand. Corey Connors, J.J. Spawn, Jordan Spieth, Corey Connors again. We didn't have a 2020 tournament, so Connors is 2019. COVID, Spieth in 21, Spahn in 22, Connors in 23, Batia last year in that playoff against Denny McCarthy. Again, what do you notice? J.J. Spahn's not a long hitter. He's a good flusher of the ball. Also not the best putter of the ball. You're starting to kind of see who I'm thinking about, right? Who could be interesting from a longer shot perspective. Even though I told you I like Gary Woodland, he's still got plenty of pop in the bat. Keith Mitchell still has a fair amount of pop in the bat. Jacob Bridgman's a younger guy, still has plenty of pop in the bat, just because he's younger, right? I mean, he still hits it pretty hard, being a young guy relative to his peers. But if we're talking about those kinds of players, then that's fine, maybe up top, right? You're going to take the best of the best in that first cluster, that first graphic. And then as you kind of deviate away from that, you're starting to think about guys who maybe don't hit it as hard, can just kind of get it around, and just need a good putting week to have a chance to win. Compare this to last week, where at Memorial Park, we were just looking for guys that could power the ball, hit it far, hit it hard, and play dope greens just well enough where you can make plenty of birdies, you can take advantage of the longer holes in the par fives, birdie enough par fours, minimize the mistakes. And that's how you got someone like Minwoo Lee in there. Scottie Scheffler is great at that. He hits it far, minimizes mistakes. He's not the best putter, but he's a great ball striker, gives himself plenty of opportunities. Taylor Pendrith, not the best putter, hits the ball really far, gives himself in play, plenty of opportunities. Alejandro Tosti, when he's not trying to ice people and be vindictive and weird, and he's actually focused, hits the ball pretty far, not a good putter, gives himself plenty of opportunities. Kind of the opposite here this week, which makes it an interesting tournament. Let's go a little bit further into the field here this week. Some guys that I will point out that I like in these ranges. Lee Hodges is a guy who loves water on golf courses. We'll have a lot of that here this week. We have some of it, but not a lot of it. A lot of woods. Matt Fitzpatrick, Matt McNeely being 60-1 is kind of interesting to me because I think he is much better than that number at 60-1. He has nothing to play for. And that is the other thing we should talk about here this week. There is nothing to play for, historically speaking, for someone who's already in the Masters. This is a tune-up tournament. You're not trying to win. You're trying to simulate. Trying to get inside the ropes feels. Maybe simulate some shots from Augusta as best you can, although it's not set up that way. And just kind of mentally prepare yourself for what you're about to do. Winning is probably eighth on the list of things that a Masters qualified player wants to do this week. Primarily because winning the week prior to the Masters and then winning the Masters is practically impossible. It just doesn't happen. Phil Mickelson is your only modern example. Maybe Sandy Lyle. But it's hard to win before the week before the Masters and then the next week. It just takes a lot out of you. You're not trying to put yourself under that pressure. It's just not built that way. So think about that for your one and done leagues. I thought about that in our one and done league picks this week. Think about that for your DFS teams. Who needs to win and who doesn't want any part of that because they may be superstitious or they may not want to put in the effort to winning that they could save for next week when it really matters. Think about that in your thoughts this week. So, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick is already in. He's not playing great golf anyway, but just had a caddy change. So he's in a little bit of upheaval. But does that mean he has a reason to win because he kind of needs some good mo? That's an interesting case. Matt McNeely has nothing to play for. He's already in, been playing pretty well, just kind of playing this week to maybe perk himself up a little bit after that good run earlier in the year. Okay. Then you got Ricky Fowler at 60-1, who played very well in TGL, I thought, but I really haven't seen entirely the turnaround there. It's maybe starting to take shape a little bit. Andrew Novak's fallen off. Ben Griffin, I think, is a guy a lot of people should love this week. Not a long hitter, hits it pretty well, gives himself a lot of opportunities. I would back off of Harry Hall. Jake Knapp was great last week. I'm not so sure he's great this week. Kurt Kitayama, longer hitter of the ball, pretty straight hitter of the ball by all measures, can hit it pretty much wherever. He might be an interesting play. I'd rather go to Ryan Gerard. Not the longest hitter, long enough. Very consistent, gives himself a lot of looks, played very well last week. He can play well pretty much at any PGA Tour course that they play. I like him a lot at 65-1. Ryan Fox, 71, had a very nice week in Houston. Again, kind of Jake Knapp, Kurt Kitayama syndrome. Do I think a long-hitting guy can translate his game from one course that rewards it to a course that doesn't quite reward it as much? Maybe. He has something to play for, again, something to play for in winning. Patrick Rogers is kind of interesting. Guy gets it around. He's not a good putter, but gets it around pretty well. Alex Smalley, I think, is a guy that got a lot of attention last week. He should have. Obviously, didn't show up quite the way we expected. Isaiah Salinda is interesting to me. I think he can play this golf course quite well. You've got Charlie Hoffman in there at 80-1. Tom Hoagie, 80-1. Hoagie's kind of interesting because he showed up at the Players, and I'm wondering if something good can come about from this week. He would be kind of an archetype of guy that would win here. Nicholas Norgaard's 90-1. I'm going to shy away from him a little bit, but I think out of this slide, you got to think about a Girard. You got to think about maybe Mav. Certainly Ben Griffin. Probably Patrick Rogers. Maybe Celinda if you're feeling froggy. Let's go a little bit longer in the tooth here. Sammy Vallamaki, I'm just going to jump to him 110-1. He probably went a long way in saving his PGA Tour career last week in Houston. He's got nothing to lose, everything to play for, long shot. Good ball striker. I mean, just a great ball striker. I think he's a little too erratic. That's why you get the 110 number. But is an interesting play this week. Matt Kuchar, as we mentioned, a horse for course, 100-1. Torbjørn Olesen. If the wind shows up, I kind of like him quite a bit. But if it doesn't, I don't. If that makes sense. I will keep pointing out Jesper Svensson until I'm blue in the face. He had a great week last week. I really like his potential. He's at this really interesting number where if you catch him, as a long shot, you're never going to see it again. If he wins a tournament at this kind of price, I promise you he won't be longer than 75-1 for a long, long time to come. He can do this. He's a very, very good player. Max McGreevy's kind of interesting, but I would back off him. He's got some heat. He's got some heat. That's a wrestling term for those of you who don't watch professional wrestling or never heard of it. He's got some beef with players. I mean, that he was angry at Ryan Fox and that he wasn't happy with how Minwoo took a drop, and then he tried to ice them by walking slower later in the round. It's just not, it's not good, and I have a feeling he's going to have a rough week this week. Even though I find him fascinating, I also find him kind of offensive as a former tournament player. So I will leave well enough alone, but I think he's got some heat that he just kind of has to deal with this week. Let's go one more slide deeper. We're going to cut it off at the 250-1 range. By the way, these odds are from an offshore book. We didn't have full odds for the full field, so I just took these. We'll have golf odds data for tomorrow after the Monday qualifier, which kind of codifies things a little bit better, I think. But we'll see what happens in the four spotter. You've got Jackson Super, who I think's had some good showings. I think he is an interesting play. I'm not a bettable play, maybe a top 20 play, but 150-1, he has shown some potential to play well here. I think you can see, if you start thinking about it, some course correlation. And I don't love that idea. I don't love the course correlation concept. But there is some here, I believe, weirdly enough, between YLA Country Club and here. If you look at the overlap, Hideki, Kuchar, Corey Connors / Canadian guys, JJ Spawn, bunch of guys who play well at YLA, play well here. They are very, very different golf courses. However, there seems to be, for whatever reason, some kind of overlap between those players. Jackson Super played very well at the Sony Open in Hawaii. I'm not trying to build a case for why you should waste your hard-earned dollars on him, but I am trying to build a case for, if you're feeling froggy, you may be interested in him. Other than that, I think it's hard to be kind of compelled by the rest of this list. Grayson Sig's been playing well, but for himself, but I still think he's got quite a ways to go, and he's kind of been struggling with this too long to stick with it. If you go to like a Jeremy Paul, 200-1, who I think is an interesting player and can come along maybe in the back half of the season, but maybe not quite yet. Trey Mullinax had himself a really nice Houston Open, kind of a home game for him. Not so much here, but he does kind of show up out of nowhere and is kind of streaky. Again, I'm not going to bet it. CT Pan at 251 is kind of interesting, but that'd be a pass for me as well. So you have an interesting field this week with interesting motivations, a course that has weird overlaps. It's not abundantly clear what is. It felt like last week we had this thing nailed. If you looked at all of the stuff that we talked about, it was very evident how this tournament was going to play out, and hopefully you cashed in on that. This week tends to feel a little bit more awkward because it is an awkward course. It's the week before the Masters, so you don't want to win if you're not in. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this that makes it's extraneous. It's not just the golf, right? There's implications, historical implications, access implications, all this stuff. I think that leads you to believe that you should look for players who are not trying to win the Masters. They're just trying to get into it. I think you should look for players. And by the way, history doesn't tell us that those players win. if you look at the role on a roll of champions, it doesn't tend to necessarily be guys who didn't have access to the Masters, right? So that's an interesting thought as well. You may not even be trying to win. You just find yourself winning. There's something to be said about that. I mean, in golf, if you've ever played golf long enough, you know you play your best golf as soon as you stop trying. And maybe that's what happens here with some of these guys. But I do think that the better odds, the better plays are guys that are trying to get in, guys that are consistent, guys that don't have to be long hitters, guys that aren't the best putters, but do a really good job just keeping the ball in play. If it gets windy, and we'll look at the weather forecast a little bit more, you want to look at guys who play well in the wind. Stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff to pay attention to here. A little bit different than last week, which is just kind of, you have brute force? Yes? Okay, we'll take you. So it's an interesting week. Again, last chance to get to the Masters this week. Keep that in mind about what you're playing for or what you're not playing for, especially when you're trying to think about that first graphic of guys who are 55 to 1 or less. Obviously, you're going to struggle to find value in top 20 markets for them. Maybe you find them in top 10s and 5s. I wouldn't play a lot of those guys sub 25 to 1 to win. I think they're just trying to warm up, get ready. Tommy Fleetwood might be my only case for that because he wants to break through. He wants to win in America finally. But do you want to do it at the expense of historically making yourself very unlikely to win the Masters tournament? I don't know the answer to that. But that could be an interesting angle. All right, that's going to do it for us on this show. I appreciate you watching. Appreciate you listening to the show. If you catch us as a podcast, you can catch us on Golf News Net TV, which is available on our Roku app, as well as Free Life Sports, Zeem, and Freecast. You can also check out this show on YouTube, as well as our website, golfnewsnet.com. You can catch us as a podcast, your favorite podcasting service. You can join our Golf News Net Radio YouTube channel if you just want to catch us and listen as a podcast that way with no video. Happy to have you however you like. And then sign up for Golf News Net for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. You have access to everything that we do, my modeling, predictions, tool, data tools, stuff that we kind of talk about, especially in our second episode, and obviously with the model, but a lot of depth and a lot of access to it. And happy to answer your questions as a member anytime if you got them. Email, DM, some people actually call me. So happy to do that as well. Back with a second show tomorrow. We will talk a little bit more in depth about the Valero Texas Open. We will do a third shorter show for Wednesday where we talk about the LPGA match play. And that'll be just getting underway as we get that out the door. Then we're also going to talk a little bit about Live Golf Miami. And we'll talk a little bit about the Korn Ferry Tour event in Savannah, Georgia. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you so much for watching or listening. We'll catch you next time.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.